All I have in this world is my balls and my word, and I don't break them for no one.
Whoa, you listen to that guy? Talk about toxic masculinity. He needs adjustment. He needs re-education. He needs not to man up, but man down. Raise his estrogen levels, soften up, get passive, and drag his combative alpha male ass to a place where hordes of men are voluntarily dialing down their manhood to imperceptible levels. How can you do the same? Well, just join MKP, the Mankind Project. I'll tell you all about it.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Come on, Larry. Larry. Larry.
Are you a man? Maybe too much of a man? Are women hanging off your guns like vixens on a Conan cover and begging to sample your gene pool? Do other guys respect and admire you? Are you confident and successful? Well, cut that shit out. That's toxic masculinity, and you had better purge yourself of it pronto. Nobody wants your kind around this planet anymore. Nobody except a Canadian woman named Elizabeth. I'll have more on her later. As if there's not enough pressure from institutions. Grammar schools, right? They medicate, not translation, they dope up male students who refuse to sit quietly with their hands folded like little girls do. And the same thing is happening in high schools, and all those male troublemakers are either jailed or have taken blue-collar jobs by the time they're college age. And if any alpha males do make it to college, then dipshit deans and deanettes can really put the screws to them with all their scrotum and spirit-crushing rules and regulations, right? Yet, here is a substantial number of guys, like tens of thousands, who just can't get enough of that emasculating poison. So they seek it out on their own and pay for the experience. So this Mankind Project, or MKP, it's got chapters all over the world. And they claim they're getting great results. There was a story about it in the New York Times, which was once a newspaper, and now is a failed business venture in search of relevancy. It was written by a woman named Hannah Seligson, but I suppose I'm being presumptuous. Who knows if Hannah is actually female? She, well, what are we up to now? 78 distinct genders? Who knows? By the way, we think the word gender is shit. We prefer to say sex. Anyway, Hannah did some investigative reporting and attended a meeting of MKP. She says it was held in a sparsely decorated room in Midtown Manhattan, where 20 men, including an endocrinologist, a sportscaster, a cop, and an employee of the United Nations, were baring their souls. Ooh, I just got a tingle. Did you? Here are some direct quotes from those men who attended this meeting.
I've been digging deep with my girlfriend, and we're having those talks about moving forward in our relationship, and I'm having nights where I can't sleep.
Wonder what he means by digging deep. There are guys in uniform in Afghanistan right now, digging deep trenches so they don't get their fucking heads blown off. I wonder how they're sleeping. And if when they do sleep, do they dream about reducing their masculinity?
I'm checking in with some anger. I didn't get accepted to the Ashtanga Institute, and I smashed 2 candles, which I know isn't very yogic.
That was said by another man who asked to remain anonymous for fear of professional repercussions. Oh, and he smashed 2 candles. We better get him off the street. Sounds dangerous. The story goes on to say the Mankind Project is a 33-year-old nonprofit and focuses on man's emotional well-being, drawing on elements like Carl Jung's theories of the psyche, nonviolent communication, breath work, Native American customs, and good old-fashioned male bonding. Minus ogling women drinking or fist-fighting, of course, they said. They can't have that. Ogle some pointy chick? Ooh, that's day class.
That's offensive.
In some places in the world, it's now illegal. Of course, they have to mention fist-fighting, right? Fist-fights aren't really all that common when guys get together. Maybe MKP moderators watch too many cowboy movies. Oh, and no drinking either. That would displease Nurse Ratched. If you've not seen the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest or read the book, you really, really should. Because that work is the definitive chronicle of what's happened to men and masculinity in the 21st century. Simple plot, a convict finagles to get himself transferred to a nut house, thinking it will be easier than prison. But unlike the other residents, he has not been medicated and told he's crazy. And he brings fun and laughter and a robustly male persona into a ward full of broken and over-medicated zombies. And soon, some of those broken zombies begin to rediscover their balls and their backbones. And the bitch that runs the place, Nurse Ratched, will have none of his toxic masculinity, or his rebellious influence, or his jokes. It's a power struggle, a battle of the sexes. But getting laid isn't the prize. Survival is. Once you've read the book or seen the movie, you will see how Western culture now mirrors that fictional nuthouse, and Nurse Ratched clones are running everything. The schools, the government, and the corporations. And to be sure, Nurse Ratcheds come in both sexes. It's like Frank Zappa said, men with women's heads. Not normal women's heads, fucked up women's heads. The story in the Times goes on to say that the goal of MKP is to break down patriarchal and hierarchical ideas of masculinity. Ooh, and the place to start is where another man, Socrates, did centuries ago with the mandate of, quote, know thyself, unquote. That's an odd choice for a role model, because according to Socrates' kids, they went hungry most of the time because he wasn't much of a dad or a provider. Socrates was a fucking deadbeat dad. Guess those MKP folks didn't do enough homework. The story goes on to say that MKP translates this as a process of cultivating awareness around one's emotions so they aren't projected onto others in a harmful and destructive way. This is accomplished through a series of facilitated exercises, some of which involve props, aimed at bringing feelings to the surface and to hold a mirror to oneself. I wonder what those props are that bring feelings to the surface. Maybe they're supplied by Doc Johnson. The story continues. It says men, who are less likely than women to seek out individual therapy, are increasingly looking for outlets in this fraught cultural moment of political acrimony, widespread economic instability, and major societal reckoning over their behavior. What the fuck does that all mean? This fraught cultural moment of political acrimony. A moment? There's never been a moment in the history of the world where people aren't slaughtering each other over politics. And right here in the USA was a moment that lasted 4 years and killed around 700,000. Widespread economic instability, really. The only time the economy was really stable was through the Great Depression. When major societal reckoning over their behavior. What does that mean? Sounds like man-blaming and shaming to me. You know, where there's a McDonald's, a Burger King can't be far off, and it seems MKP doesn't have the neutering field to itself. they have a competitor.
The new popularity of mindfulness, yoga, and wellness has helped men shift their focus away from work relationships.
Says Lucas Crump, 39, a founder of Everyman. That's Everyman with only one E. They always have to monkey with the names, don't they? It's a for-profit company that brings men together to talk about their feelings. Crump uses an exercise metaphor for his venture. CrossFit for your emotions. Catchy. Started in 2016, Everyman has grown to over 800 men in groups across 50 cities. It touts a finding from psychology researchers that, quote, most men would rather be electrically shocked than be left alone with their own thoughts, unquote. I want to see that fucking research. Did they hook the subject's balls up to a car battery for a few good jolts and then lock them in a room with their thoughts and see which experience they preferred? I doubt it. But you can throw any kind of bullshit and be believed if you source it as research. It goes on to say that at MKP, Boyson Hodgson, there's a name, Director of Marketing and Communication, says, quote,
with Time's Up Now and Me Too, many men know they have to be more accountable. A lot of them are saying, I don't want that to be me. I don't want to be how men are seen in the world.
Unquote. Wow. Anybody within the sound of my voice ever have a thought like that in your entire fucking life, hmm? You just wake up a week ago Friday and think to yourself, I want to be more accountable. I want to restore the dignity of men and undo what Weinstein and Cosby have done. Yeah, the hell with more money and more fun and more sex. I just want to be more accountable. Eka Darville is an actor on the Netflix show Jessica Jones. I never heard of either one of them, but he's been involved with MKP since 2012. And according to this story, Eka says that, quote, a lot of pathologies in society, such as entitled masculinity, are related to men who are repressed. The evolution from boyhood to manhood isn't something that naturally happens, unquote. Really, Eka? Boys don't grow into men naturally? Is that so? Maybe some don't anymore. Maybe after they've been dosed with Ritalin and Adderall since they were toddlers and then raised by mommy or two mommies and been taught overwhelmingly by females, maybe they do need some artificial stimuli to reach manhood. Maybe they do. MKP's retreat is the new warrior training adventure. Ooh, which has been completed by over 60,000 men. Whoa. It's a 2-day initiation that costs around $675 and includes blindfolded walking tours and cold showers. Some retreats have optional nudity in an effort to promote healthy body image. Oh, I think I know where this might be going. Maybe they do the cold showers after the nude blindfold stuff. Well, MKP's been going and going and going to the bank. They've raked in over $40 million. After completing the new warrior training adventure, many men join integration groups or I groups, where they continue on a weekly basis with the guidance of a trained peer facilitator. It says that I groups are attended not just by woke liberal elites on the coasts, no, they have plenty of participants in the heartland, too. The Everyman Weekend is called the Open Source Retreat. That's about $1,000, depending on accommodations. Brings together 50 guys and 8 leaders who have completed something called MELT. Where do they get this shit? That's Men's Emotional Leadership Training, MELT. The purpose is to set aside cultural norms and be
transparent, honest, and vulnerable with each other.
The goal is to
leave feeling like we shed 30 pounds of emotional baggage.
Well, they'll certainly shed a pound or two of moolah. Group members ask probing follow-up questions. How do you feel? What do you need to let go of? What do you want? What do you need from the group? The prodding often elicits frustration, anger, and sadness. This is a direct quote. Screaming into a pillow is not uncommon. And in the Me Too era, issues of reconciling past sexual behavior come up, said Ben. He says many men are struggling to come to terms with hashtag Me Too and how they feel complicit in abuses, even if they are not the perpetrators, because they're not taking a more active stand for a woman's sovereignty. Wow. Sounds like the message is, share the guilt and put on your pussy hat and keep it on. It's hard to argue with $40 million. These people seem to know their market. And that market is validated by another research study by the University of British Columbia. They have found that today's young men have a very different mindset than men of previous generations. They are ditching traditional masculine traits like physical prowess and autonomy and choosing to concentrate on emotional strength instead. Canadian men aged 15 to 29 took part in the survey, and they claimed selflessness was their top-rated male value. 88% said men should be more open to new ideas, new people, and new experiences. Of course, there were comments about this online story, and I'm going to share with you my favorite, posted by a woman named Elizabeth, who I mentioned at the top of the show. Elizabeth says, "The vast majority of young men that I see today are wimpy. Nothing is more unattractive to a woman. Nothing. In fact, I am relieved that I am not a young woman. 95% of them are weak pussies. Nothing is worse than a weak man. You can be emotionally strong and sensitive and still be masculine. It's the best of both worlds. But no, men are being feminized by a bunch of angry women that don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. And men are buying this crap and being intimidated into being something they really are not. This is all bullshit. Like this young man shown above, he looks like a pussy, like he cries at the drop of a hat. And where did his and where did his biceps go? I'm loving this broad. If you had a contest that pitted him against Clint Eastwood, with 100 women deciding who they'd want to bed, let me tell you, Clint would win hands down." Wow, Elizabeth, honey, if you're listening, get at me on Twitter or Facebook or shoot me an email at thatlarryshow@gmail.com. We need a woman like you at the Take No Shit Dojo. So all this is fun and stupid because everybody's an adult, and as adults, we should be allowed to be as stupid as we choose and fuck up our lives at will. But the seepage of this war on men and masculinity, which I've explored previously in episode 42, The Gynarchy, and episode 125, Man-Haters and Death Cults, the overspray of this insanity ceases to be funny when it involves kids. Kids who have no power, no voice, and no choice. I'm talking about a story in Texas right now about a 6-year-old boy, 6, not 16. His name is James. His parents are divorced, and his mommy thinks James should be a girl, so she calls him Luna. She dresses him as a girl, sends him to school that way, and intends that James will live his entire life as Luna to the fullest extent possible, which will include chemical castration at age 8. Not 18, 8. And the courts are all on mommy's side and prepared to enforce her will and geld that little boy. Not fucking funny. Not even a little. It's colossally fucked up. Here's what the world-famous feminist Camille Paglia has to say about asshole parents who decide to warp their kids' sexual identity.
Anyone who collaborates in an intrusion into a developing child's body and mind is guilty of child abuse, a crime against humanity, okay? Because that child is not prepared to make such a decision.
And while we've got Camille, here's where she stands on the war on men.
The collaboration of the bureaucratic machinery with it has to do with the assault on masculinity, okay? Ah, okay, you see, gender doesn't really exist, it's not really polarity. I mean, everything's all about expanding women's rights, but also terminating men, okay, and defining men out of existence. Masculinity is by definition toxic.
And lastly, what does this insanity portend for Western culture?
Historically, the movement toward androgyny occurs in late phases of culture. Okay, as a civilization is starting to unravel. Okay, and that you can find it again and again and again through history in the Greek art. Okay, you can see it happening. All of a sudden, okay, there's a kind of the sculptures of handsome nude young men athletes that used to be very robust. Okay, in the archaic period, suddenly began to seem like wet noodles, okay, toward the end, okay, and that the people who live in such periods, a late phase of culture, whether it's the Hellenistic era, whether it's the Roman Empire, whether it's the Mauve decade of Oscar Wilde in the 1890s, whether it's Weimar Germany, people who live in such times, okay, feel that they're very sophisticated, they're very cosmopolitan, okay, and homosexuality, heterosexuality, so what, anything goes, and so on, all right, from the perspective of historical distance, okay, you can see that it's a culture that no longer believes in itself, okay, and then what you invariably get are people who are convinced of the power of heroic masculinity, okay, on the edges, whether they're the Vandals and the Huns, okay, or whether they're the barbarians of ISIS, okay, you see them, you know, starting to mass on the outsides of the culture. And that's what we have right now, that there is a tremendous and rather terrifying disconnect between the infatuation with the transgender movement in our own culture and what's going on out there, okay, all right? I'm concerned. I feel it's ominous.
Wonder if the Mankind Project has any members in mainland China or Russia or the Middle East. You think any dudes over there are wanting to be more accountable? Have we seen any pictures of the Taliban or ISIS wearing pussy hats? Camille, a dyed-in-the-wool feminist, is nonetheless honest, and clearly has a powerful intellect. Our culture is in decline. If you want to help that poor kid who they want to destroy, go to savejames.com. You can learn more there and donate to his salvation. And if you like what I'm saying, help me keep this thing going at patreon.com/thatlarryshow. I'll see you this weekend for Sinner Sunday, and until then, take no shit.